It is a warm welcome to week 9 of our Talanoa series, Ngalu Whanifo, a new wave for mental well-being, Pacifica Futures Initiative in response to Pacific community demand. Ngalu Whanifo is a Tongan term that refers to surfing the waves, and in the context of our mental health service, essentially a new wave for mental well-being, acting as a metaphor where one is riding the wave of emotions until you reach a smooth landing. Ngalu refers to all the different types of waves, unexpected ones, ones you can see from afar, big ones, short ones, sudden ones, and rough ones. Whanifo is the art of riding these waves. Therefore, Ngalu Whanifo speaks of accepting those challenges, those waves, which are inevitable, and instead of succumbing to them, we embrace and see them as opportunities to apply and live out our values even more. Today, we are exploring ways parents and adults address childhood trauma and how it can be identified and treated. It is a very warm welcome back to Dr. David Tan, a child and adolescent psychiatrist and pediatrician. He has an extensive understanding of the pediatric and mental health issues of children and young people, and has worked as a child and adolescent psychiatrist for the Pacific Community Mental Health Service and Waitemata District Health Board, and is currently part of the Whanau, one of the largest Pacific health providers in the country. A very warm welcome back, Maroso I Fulau Sasunga, Dr. David, and thank you for your time this afternoon.
I look for Brian. Thank you for having me back.
Well, today it's pretty heavy, Talanoa, but let's get straight into it. What is childhood trauma to begin with this afternoon, Dr. David?
So I guess the first definition or the thing to explain is trauma. So trauma tends to be the effect of events that threaten your well-being, so threaten your safety, threat in your life, the threat of injury, and that of sexual injury as well. And the effects of this event that causes the trauma is experienced with fear, with helplessness and horror. So that's, you know, some people say that trauma helps them grow, you know, and is a source of making them better and a better person. But often it's a negative thing and a bad thing. So if we look at the different types of trauma, there's a type one trauma, which is like a one single event, like being in a car accident. That's one big event. So if we think of riding the wave, Ngalu Whanifo, a trauma is a big wave, a big rough wave. And type one trauma is just a particular experience or event, or we could talk about the earthquakes like that. Type two trauma is trauma that is repeated. And unfortunately for children, that's the common type of trauma, because often the trauma comes from the people in the household, the people they love, and it's repeated. And they're the thoughts that this is a much more serious trauma. So for children who experience childhood trauma, often it's repeated, and so often has more effects on a child. And Brian, I like to talk about like a ala, or the pathway, ala ole o langa, I guess, for a lifespan look at things. And with that trauma affecting a child who is, you know, is developing, so their brains are growing, they're starting to understand language. And when you add trauma to a young person who's going through all these developments, it can affect them more deeply than it would be for someone who's older, who has language, who has some experiences to draw on to manage the trauma. So that's childhood. That's the definition of childhood trauma, which is it's a terrible thing.
Dr. David, if As a child, you know, you suffer trauma, but then as you develop and, you know, become, well, you know, as you mature into adulthood, if the repercussions or impacts of the, you know, that early childhood trauma are not dealt with, how does it, how can it then manifest in adult life?
So I would like to say trauma is common. It happens, and someone could say that they've experienced a trauma. About half of us would have experienced a trauma by the age of 16. If you look, ask everyone in the world, that's almost a given. But as far as developing really severe impacts of that, and things like everyone hears about post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, the chances of that developing is probably only about 4 in out of every 100 people in adults, but for children, probably 1 in 6 children from having a trauma experience are post-traumatic stress symptoms. So it is pretty common. And unfortunately, with having a trauma history, your risk of being an anxious adult, having problems with substance use, drugs or alcohol, having problems with being so distressed that you may self-harm, harm yourself, or have suicidal thoughts, all those unfortunately are more common in people who have that history of trauma and experience some of those post-trauma symptoms.
What about with regards to, okay then, so if we go back to childhood trauma and in terms of parents, how are we able to, help our children if, they go through trauma? What are some mechanisms or strategies?
Okay, so it comes back to having a Tylenol with them, but more a case of having a Tylenol about them. Give them space because children often don't want to upset their parents because they feel that they will make it worse or upset their parents more. But it is giving them the opportunity to talk about not necessarily about the trauma, but about the feelings they have. Because when you experience a trauma, what it does, it gets put into the action part of your brain. So it comes immediately, and you have that trauma, and then you have the emotions that go with it, and you have the thinking that go with it. And the thing is that sometimes that trauma stays there in that part of your brain rather than being processed and being put away as a memory. So it is trying to talk to a child about the feelings they have rather than about the trauma, because sometimes when people go through the trauma again, that can be a bad thing too. Talking about the experience, but it's about their reactions to it that is important. The other thing is ensuring their safety. So I always think about this thing called the safety chain, where the child knows that mom and dad love them and will support them. And outside of that, they have extended family. And outside of that, they have friends of the family. So there's always somebody there to care for them and support them. The other thing to do is, especially for children, is sometimes they won't talk too much. And sometimes the trauma will be more obvious when they're going to bed. And so giving them the opportunity at bedtime to talk things through. Give them love like you or usually would. Don't forget to get back into a routine as well, but stay connected. So those are probably three or four things that a parent can do.
Talking about routines, Dr. David, and with regards to, our children's routines in the current situation we find ourselves with lockdowns across the country, would you say that, this can be quite a traumatic time for our children?
I guess the question is COVID-19 a trauma? And I would say that if you think of the definition, is this a threat on our livelihood and our way of living and on our families? I would argue yes. I would argue that COVID-19 is a trauma. And it's using those interventions in the family to manage that trauma. And it is a trauma that is ongoing and repeated. I do think that when Dr. Ashley Bloomfield and our Prime Minister stand up for the 1 p.m. stand-ups, that does traumatise. And I think part of COVID-19, more specifically for children, is the parent keeping them away from some of that news. You know, sometimes too much news for children, and probably for adults too, is not a good thing. Sometimes you just need to move yourself away from it. But yes, I would argue that, you know, the COVID-19 and the crisis we've had has been a traumatic event. And some people will work through that and process that, and other people will struggle.
Dr. David, a question with regards to our Pacific community. In your experience and amongst your colleagues' networks, especially in Pacific colleagues, do you find that generally our Pacific community are quite hesitant to, you know, utilise services such as yours, and why that is, if compared to, say, other communities or other ethnic groups, you know, that we don't really like to tell Anora about these things, and why?
So I think mental health and a sense of mental well-being or not being having a sense of mental well-being is almost seen as a weakness. So is it a character flaw, or is it a moral flaw? And So, you know, traditionally it's thought of, you know, is it a curse? And so I do think that some, you know, those things cause this thing called stigma. So if you state that things are not okay, then there's something wrong with you. And as I said, and as you've said for the past 8-9 weeks about Ngalu Whanifo, and as my esteemed colleague, Dr. Foliaki has spoken about it, there's these waves, and we all experience the waves, and we all have our ups and downs, and we all cope well, and we also don't cope so well. But I think if it's sustained and you're feeling and it's affecting your functioning, then you do need to seek help. And it is, there are lots of avenues and ways to seek out help, whether that's the whaiwhiao at the church, whether that's a brother or sister, whether that's a family friend, as a start. And I think the more we talk about it, the less it is stigmatized, because mental health is a very important part of your general well-being. Yeah.
And just
I really believe that.
Finally, for today, Dr. David, just the importance of, you know, Talanoa, open, honest, heartfelt Talanoa, and the benefits of that, you know, when we're looking at things like trauma or just, you know, mental health in general.
Yeah, I do think it's everyone has their ups and downs with their mental health and physical health, and I do think it's important we talk about it and feel.
We lost you there for a moment. Can you repeat that again, please, Dr. David?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The Brian, I do think the more we talk about it, the less stigmatized it will be, and the less untalked about it will be. I think if we share it, and I do think, you know, people within the community, especially in leadership roles, and public facing roles, showing not necessarily vulnerability, but that they have had struggles too. And I do think that's an important thing. And I do think that we as a people can't be happy all the time. And I do think we have our trials and tribulations, but knowing that we can seek help if we need to, and also be providers of help and support.
Dr. David Tan, child and adolescent psychiatrist and paediatrician. Whakatai tele lawalau sunga, Dr. David. Awesome as always. Thank you. Have a great day. Ia manuia. Whakatai.
Whakatai.